This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week number 606, brought to you by Harry's. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/iFanboy. Just pay for shipping. And iFanboy listeners just like you. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 606. I'm Ron Richards, alongside my co-host, Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
You switched it up, and now we don't know what to do.
I mixed it all up.
I definitely didn't write it in the script like that.
No, I don't know why I skipped it. It was weird. We are from iFanboy, and every week we read a stack of comics, and one of us picks their favorite book. We call that the Pick of the Week. We come here, we talk about that book, some other comic books you like, the listener want to hear. We get some of your emails. It's going to be a fun time no matter what. But quick be warned, abandon all hope ye enter here. If you're worried about spoilers, this is a review show, and we're going to talk about what happens in the book. So if you haven't read your comics yet, press pause, come back later on, or, you know, just be damned. This week, Josh had the pick. Joshua?
Are you drinking?
I might be.
Are you drinking during the day?
He's having a Mad Men lunch.
Maybe.
Too much
yeah,
lunch.
So pick of the week is G.I. Joe number 9 from Aubrey Sitterson, Gianni Milagianis. And colored by Laverne Kinzierski.
This is a whole. That's, this is a team.
Like a minefield.
Yeah.
That is the most syllables.
That's the most
any creative team ever had. So I'm going through my books this week, and I'm like, it's fine.
You're a grump this week.
I was. I was totally a grump, and there was a bunch that was fine. But I was like, I got nothing really to talk about.
Fine.
This is the last issue of this version of G.I. Joe, which is crazy, nutso, bonkers. And sometimes I like that. Yeah. Well, there was a thing you may have heard about. But he is getting a new series with artist Nelson George after they're doing a crossover. Crazy. IDW is doing a crossover.
Crazy
properties. Where G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Mask, or whoever, There's a story that I'm not going to read. But after that's over.
Did you just denigrate Mask?
I did in a specific context. So I have no problem with Secret Raiders fighting over time, whatever it is. I forget. I don't know the words. I know the melody, but I'm not singing it. Okay. But I don't want to read that crossover comic book. We all know we've been burned by these IDW crossovers.
Yes, they're never as fun as you hope.
Exactly. So I'm not really down with that. However, the exception to the rule is that on this team of G.I. Joes is Skywarp of the Decepticons, one of the big purple jets. And him being on this team has been very funny to me. It's sort of similar how Clayface was in Detective Comics for a while. Right. Yeah, that kind of works in this context. And it works in this context. And he doesn't like any of them. But he's kind of reluctantly helping. But you kind of suspect that, yes, I'm getting into the subconscious of the robot. You kind of suspect that he likes being on the Joe team. Anyway, this is a big fight between the Joes and the Dreadnoughts. Okay. So that's why it's pick of the week.
Nothing wrong with some Dreadnought action, that's for sure.
I'm telling you, and I'm assuming neither of you read this, but I want to get to the point where I'm going to just tell Ron that on the very last page there is a reveal of Cobra Commander, sort of. It's just, I think, the first time he's shown up in this, and it looks like a lady. It's a lady Cobra Commander. But two over to her left is Dr. Mindbender.
Is he wearing a shirt?
He is wearing exactly what you want Dr. Mindbender to be wearing.
I want the cape, I want the suspenders, and the mustache and the monocle.
All of it is there. There's a metal codpiece, and there's a sword at his left hip.
A sword?
Yes.
Wait, hang on. Is it like a rapier? Or is it? Oh, wow.
You think you're rippier than me?
is the new Cobra Commander Baroness?
I'm trying to, because she doesn't. So the whole thing is this. Scarlet has a team of sort of high-end Joes who are there to do special missions, and their thing has been changed so that they're not just working for the United States. They're working sort of on a global level, so they're out of bounds of where they normally are. They capture Baroness at some point earlier in the series, and she's holding her there outside of sort of the Geneva conventions because it's Baroness and she needs to make sure that it's taken care of. Duke shows up, finds out this is happening, countermands everything that Scarlet was doing, and takes Baroness away. And so this issue starts with, after Duke has taken her away, the Dreadnoughts attack him and start to take her, try to take Baroness back. And so Duke then has to call Scarlet and it's like, hey, remember that thing I just did? I need you to come help me because I'm going to lose her. And so there's your inter-team tension right there.
So wait, is this series leading into the next thing? Because this seems like a lot of unresolved issues.
Yes, it does. Unfortunately, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but there was an incident on the social media, and I think that it led to an earlier ending of this than they had planned on, and I think that's a little bit of affecting that. I don't know how much of this is going to be addressed in the next series that Citizen is writing, but he is writing another series of G.I. Joe after this crossovers that happens is done. They got her back. So yes, there's outstanding issues, but like all the things are in places. They still have Baroness in custody. They defeated the Dreadnoughts. The team sort of got themselves back together, and I guess that now the decks are cleared for them to do this Mask crossover thing.
Did they defeat the Dreadnoughts by distracting them with some sort of grape soda pizza combination?
No, they had to bring in. If you remember, we talked about this earlier, some of the Joes were infected with an alien of some kind that made them turn into crazy tentacle beasts.
You know what's really funny is you could be totally making all of this up.
And it's fine.
And Ron and I would have no idea.
And it
well,
sounds,
that's what I like about it.
It sounds totally, yeah, like, okay, sure, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's crazy, not so batshit. I think this is the same thing that people are liking about DC's Metal, which I'm not enjoying. So it's completely subjective. But it's... I mean, like, I don't know if everybody out there who's listening had listened to my interview with Aubrey Sederson.
Great interview. Great interview.
Yeah, thank you. But I think that the point that he's coming, the direction that he's coming at this from is really interesting to me. And he throws it on the page. He definitely has that wrestling Carnival Barker kind of aesthetic going on. And this issue was all action. It was all stuff. And like the Joes, who are all mad at each other, had to come together and help each other. And Quick Kick shows up and they're like, "You don't have a gun?" He's like, "I just beat Snake Eyes without a gun. All I need is a sword for these yahoos." And he takes down a bunch of the Dreadnoks. And it's like, and they're deep level Dreadnoks, because I was like, "Oh, I recognize that guy, but I didn't remember his name." There's like the really big strong guy who has a giant hammer with a cinder block on the end of it.
That's like War Pig or something.
Yes, exactly. Like, I couldn't remember his name. Then there's a big, I couldn't remember this guy. He's kind of like a fat dude who has like a long mustache and he's bald. But then there's also the regular
Dr. Mindbender?
No, he looks like Dr. Mindbender, but if he was like a big wrestler. That was one I couldn't figure out. There's Ripper, there's Buzzer, there's Zorana, there's a couple of twins who are not Tomax and Zaymot.
No, but there was the twin Dreadnoks. I remember them. I totally remember them. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But like,
well, those Zartan and, I mean, Zorana and Xandar. No.
All right, no, here we go.
There's identical twin sort of Dreadnoks.
Name that Dreadnok.
All of this conversation that we're having right now is why I made this the pick.
I'm gonna pitch this show to the Game Show Network.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. So here are the Dreadnoks are Buzzer, Naugahyde, right? And Naugahyde is spelled Naugahyde, like Naugahyde. Yeah. Monkey Wrench, Ripper, Road Pig, Thrasher, Torch, Xandar, Zorana, and Zanzibar. And Xandar and Zorana are the twins.
Wait, Zanzibar is a country.
No, Zanzibar is... he's the one with the eye patch and the top knot ponytail and the long mustache. He looks like Dr. Mindbender.
Oh, that's him then.
Yeah. Zanzibar.
He's in this.
Yeah.
He has a big pirate cutlass.
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. That's Zanzibar.
He also rides around on a flying surfboard.
Yes. Yes. That was that's on the cover of G.I. Joe number 60 from Marvel, drawn by Mike Zeck. It's called the Dreadnok Airskiff, Josh.
Yeah. It's awesome. And then for some reason, there's a Muslim British footballer who takes him down when that guy's about to go after Duke with his sword.
Oh, wow. That is a great cover.
Right?
He does look like Dr. Mindbender's pirate cousin.
So wait, so Thrasher is the one that is the driver. He's the one with the black and green hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Who are the original three? Do you remember which ones those are?
Yeah, it's Torch,
Buzzer,
and Monkey Wrench.
Ripper.
Yeah.
Ripper. You're right.
They just look like roadies from the 70s.
Right. I love the...
They work for the Steve Miller Band.
Yeah.
Also in this were the Fatal Fuzzies. Do you remember the Fatal Fuzzies?
No.
That was a band from the punk era in New York. They played at CBGB's.
Wow, look at Connor going outside of his zone.
That was very funny, Connor.
I want to read old G.I. Joe now that I look up all these covers. God damn!
By the way, we really are missing an opportunity by not leaning. Like, the thing is like, I like that we didn't lean into the G.I. Joe thing because that makes these moments special. But yes. Like, we really could do something special with G.I. Joe. I think.
But it'd be like a rediscovery thing. It's not like Star Wars, which we have covered.
Yeah.
These all come back and sort of fuzzy, like, oh right, which is why I made this the pick, because there was enough of it in this that made me just go, oh, right, that. And it's bits from the cartoons and it's bits from the comic book, but it's not either of those things. It's almost like a melding of that stuff.
Hey,
like,
I mean, we said it. I mean, the during the unfortunateness stuff a couple of weeks ago, I mean, Aubrey is made to write G.I. Joe, and he's doing such a great job. And so, you know, like, and yeah, all that other stuff was upsetting, but yeah.
And like, I'm glad that he gets to do more. And I actually really came around to the art team on this. At first, I don't think it made sense, but now I really kind of like it. It's definitely a lot more raw than I think we're used to. And I think that if you go into this expecting a version of the Hama stuff, which is really, when we were talking about G.I. Joe Cobra and all that stuff, that was a playoff of that even more serious version. He's going the other way here. And because the Hama book still exists, G.I. Joe Real American Hero. It is an ongoing. It is there. There's no need for him to do that same thing in this. So he's doing a different thing. Pissed off a lot of people doing, I think.
Well, no, I don't think they were pissed off that he was doing it and his other stuff. But yeah. Anyway. He as much as we joke and talk about how much we love it or stuff, like, Aubrey is like us times 10. So
yeah.
But then, no, if you look in that late, if you look at the later era, I mean, not even that super late. Yes. Like, if you look at around issue 60, because I'm looking at all these old covers, issue 59, there's a dude who's just like a falcon with talon feet, and then Cobra Commander's in like a flying bubble. Like, it got really silly.
Yep.
know, after around like issue 30.
But they were still able to.
The path has stayed there, but grounded.
They were still like, we'll put the toys on the cover. But
it wasn't like it wasn't like flashbacks to Nom stuff that they did the first 30 issues, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, G.I. Joe is silly, and that's why it's awesome.
Yeah. And it really works here. Like the Decepticon jet on the team was like my favorite part of the whole thing. And there's a great sort of reveal, a Yo-Jo thing. So like the whole time, all the Joes, specifically Rock and Roller, are asking Skywarp if they can give them a ride, and he won't let anybody in him.
He's at least you know, take me out for dinner first.
Well, yeah, he thinks they're disgusting. I don't want these guys in me. And then the big reveal here is that he gave Rock and Roll a ride somewhere. So
of course he did.
And Rock and Roll is like is given the big Yo-Jo, you know, and it works for me. And like this is utterly subjective. It is my, you know, it's a thing that I really like, and it sort of came at the right moment that I wanted to read this. But I thought it was a really good way to go out of this series, which I think is sort of sadly concluding. And it was its own thing, and it was unique, and it was kind of perfect for what it was. And it gave me the happies. And I'm telling you, like, I was thinking about it right up until the last second, and I saw Dr. Mindbender on that latch page, and I was like, hell yeah. Because I thought we were about to get Serpentor. There's a lot of snake imagery going on. They're setting up in a pyramid. I was like, oh, it's going to be – nope, we got – but it didn't matter because two characters back, Dr. Mindbender was standing there. And Destro, full-on gigantic chest necklace Destro, like – none of the costume had been toned down. It's good stuff. It made me happy. And I think, I literally think if you guys just looked through the issue, you'd be like, this is an awful lot of fun. I think, Milo Giannopoulos. Am I saying that right? Milo Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
Sorry. He's great on This Is Us. He came from Profit. Is that correct?
Yep.
That gave me context for the art, too. I was like, okay, I see where this guy's coming from. Because at first, I think I was having a hard time connecting the two.
Yeah.
You know, the style plus the kind of story. But it was fun. And this was like, this isn't a pick of the week. Like, I couldn't pick anything better. This was genuinely my pick of the week. Because right up until the end, I go, I hope this last thing I read is going to remember. Oh, I still have one book to read. And I was like, that'd be great if this was pick of the week. And I go, it is. It is pick of the week. I'm fine with that. It's not going to be everybody's pick of the week. But it's mine, and I got the con. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad that in our 40s we can still enjoy G.I. Joe.
Yeah, because no one from our generation is good at enjoying things they liked as a kid.
Exactly.
Speaking of things that some people liked as kids, but we were not kids, you guys were not super warm on Runaways last time.
Right. No, in fact, I missed this issue this week. I didn't even look at it.
The second issue came out. Our writer Rainbow Rowell, which presumably is a real name. Yes. An artist, Chris Anka.
She's a YA writer, I think, or a writer. Now she's a comic writer, but like a fiction writer.
So basically at the end of the last issue, I feel like this addressed the things that you guys were talking about as to why it's happening. Not so much that it made up for it, but the fact that there were no other Runaways, for example. But basically the last Chase bursts into Nico's place, and he's got Gert's dead body, and they're trying to, or almost dead body, and they're trying to revive her and bring her back. And so they do that, and they get her going, and then she's like, where the hell is everybody? And so they explain how the team fell apart, and Gert spends the whole issue mad about it. She never goes, oh, that's okay. She's like, well, that's stupid. How could I die and everything falls apart? You guys don't even hang out together. We did all this stuff, and we're not close. And they kind of try to justify like how people drift apart or whatever, and she's not happy about it, which I was like, that's exactly how you guys felt. And the character refused to acknowledge that either. But they kind of deal with the Avengers Arena thing in terms of almost like Chase and Nico don't want to talk about it. Like, right. They won't explain it. They're like, and then a thing happened, and they go on, which I like because that would be really significant. And that series was great, that Avengers Arena series.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was a great moment in time. My complaint about it was just that after all this time, when you bring this series back, like if someone, especially with the TV show coming up on Hulu with like a new entry point, you know, give a little more context or whatever it was. And maybe that's, you know, the byproduct of a new two comics writer or you know, that it's the slow. I mean, like, it might work in a trade format, you know what I mean? But it's, like, in an issue format, you know, like, it's a challenge.
It's more of those, the problems we've had, I think, with Image books. That it feels like the first two issues of the first issue, not the first issue of the first issue.
Well, I think that that's what's happening here. I feel like it's definitely being written long form. She's YA. That means she's writing novels normally. So it was a cold open kind of thing, and they didn't really explain too much. And they haven't really here either. But also, the I really feel like the writer is clearly familiar with the material. Because the way that the characters are being talked about was all sort of spot on. They got a box with Victor's severed robot head in it at the end.
Ugh, that's creepy.
So that's a thing. And then there are robot glowy-eyed cats chasing the little girl. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I thought the characters were spot on. I really, really like Chris Anka's drawing. I really like the way that he draws Gert. Like, he draws her not like any other girl in comic books. You know, it's like she's short and sort of curvy and squat. And it's just, I don't see that ever. Like, the sort of shape of her, I don't ever see that in superhero comics. Chase has really bad hair, but other than that, it's good.
Cool.
One of the characters in Ms. Marvel is drawn like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it more often, I think. Yeah. But I really it stands out, but it's much more what the world is like, and I like that. That's all.
All right.
And I put the Flash on here because Flash number 32. What do you guys think of this? What did you think? I'm not sure what to think.
You're channeling Romo with that, Josh.
Well, sometimes I read something and I'm like, I think I don't like it, and then I talk to you guys and I realize I missed a thing, or and then you can. So I want to know where you are on this, because I'm not sure.
I'm not loving the dark Flash.
Me neither.
Art.
I agree with that.
And the art was okay. It doesn't have that frenetic energy that you've been getting previously.
I'm been spoiled by DiGiomenico.
Yeah, I mean, the art wasn't bad. It doesn't have that. And then, luckily, he's not in the previous costume, because art like this makes that costume look terrible.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, it's. I feel like the default move for the last couple of years is just make all the heroes bad.
Or broken, or
They just can't be straight up heroes, because that's considered, I don't know, boring or something. But you know, I like when Barry is a hero, and here he's not a hero because his powers are causing all this, you know, chaos, and he and Wally hate each other, and it's a bummer to read.
I agree with that. I liked the setup for this one, though. I almost don't like I guess I didn't like the fact that he has to go work at Iron Heights and the thing that's going on here. I don't know if I like the way that it was done or the voice of the.
Go ahead. By the way, it was the fact that all the rogues are in their costumes is ridiculous.
I know, but they addressed that.
The fact that they're all in their costumes, and the fact that they addressed it, and the fact that he gave an answer is all ridiculous. It's just
we can go either way depending on what mood you're in as a reader.
Yeah.
You can be like, that's really stupid, or you can be like, well, it's stupid and they know it. Let's move on. Let's go with it.
But I did one of those, like, I clocked and, you know, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I did too. I was like, then they started talking about it. And I went, all right, fine. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll stick with it because I like what Josh has done through these 32 issues, which is crazy, by the way. Like, this has been a better, more often good than not run so far, and so I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm getting real tired of purple skin Barry and the dark Flash and all that kind of stuff. It's just
I would like this part to be over too.
Yeah, me too.
Let the heroes be heroes. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't be embarrassed. They're superheroes. Yep. That is the way that is why they exist.
I think that in the past, though, they have turned heroes dark because they thought that's what people wanted. And what I think is happening now is that they're turning him dark so that they can have the rebirth moment.
Probably.
It's a slightly different thing that's going
ironically, on. Ironically, this is coming out of rebirth, but okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
I think we're on the same page then. That's what I needed to. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Miracle number 3 by Tom King and Mitch Gerrards is the issue that got me.
Thank goodness.
I finished this issue and I was like, holy shit, this issue was good. That open, that cold open.
The whole thing.
Was depressing as hell. But this issue is the best issue of this run so far.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting. This might have been my least favorite issue, but I didn't dislike it. But
interesting.
I was really surprised that DC Comics allowed them to spend 3 and change pages severing Big Barda's head.
Yeah. Yep.
Is it Granny Goodness's head?
I mean, Granny Goodness's head.
I was like, what did I read?
Yeah. No.
Oops.
That's issue four. I'm one ahead. They literally there's a whole page of him sawing Granny's head off, and then they hold it up.
Let's not try to focus on the fact that Tom King's seen some shit.
This one, I just thought this was really like, I don't know what's going on here issue, but I liked it.
I liked it a lot. I liked it so much. And it just looked amazing. It was the one, this is the one that I was able to follow along the most. That, again, like I said, that open was just, was depressing as hell, but totally engaging. And like by the end of this, I was like, all right, holy shit, this is really good. So
there's two things that are happening here that are worth note. I don't normally like reading something about a depressed character.
Mm-hmm.
Because I spend enough time in that story. And, I'm completely compelled by this because the backstory is so, like, how could he not be depressed? And, like, that contrast of what he looks like and what his public persona is versus how he was grown up and what's going on inside of him is, it's really interesting. Then Forager shows up, which is a ridiculous concept, but it's a really interesting conversation.
Yep.
Then the other side of this is that, like, I mean, I've said this a lot about Mitch. I know Mitch and I like him, but like he needs to be on the Eisner shortlist at this point.
I think it's early for that. Let's see how the rest of the year goes and the other issues look like. But he's really making a case. I don't think the second issue was as strong. I think if I had to rank the strength of the issues, I would say this issue, the first issue, and then the second issue. I thought the second issue wavered a little because he's really putting himself out there, and I respect that. But it looks like he's getting it as every issue goes. So when we get to like a trade worth of these issues, then I'll entertain that. But yeah, it's going in that direction. So.
He just had a baby, and he's not getting any sleep. So yeah. We'll see how that goes. But there is a 3-page sequence in here. Regardless, all the face work, I got. His stuff had a stiffness to it before that almost feels like it's gone now.
Yeah.
He's much better than he was years ago.
Of Mr. Miracle climbing up the scaffolding into the box and then the box falling was like, it's like the Panosian page from last week of The Digging.
Yeah.
Where I just went, that is comic books right there. And I don't think that that's the thing that most of your average readers are going to necessarily pick up on. But when you look at this stuff all the time, you know, like, that was special, I thought.
Yeah. What's also special, and I'm close.
Funky Flashman.
Oh my God, yes, Funky Flashman. Thank you. Holy shit, I laughed out loud, and I thought of Tom Caters when I saw Funky Flashman. So that was awesome.
Also, he's wearing some boss pants.
Yeah, that was Funky Flashman was awesome. So what I also think is pretty special, but for a different reason in different ways, and might be on my short list of best book of the year is Mech Cadet U. This just continues to be so much fun and such a great thing. And now with this issue, they introduced a Voltron-esque way for us to see the characters talking when they're in the robots, which I loved. And it's color-coded. It's color-themed. Like, it's tapping into all the big robot story stuff that I love. And I'm just so happy to see it continuing like this. And that the fact that it's an ongoing, like, I just this book makes me – puts a big smile on my face.
Yeah, this is a real surprise. I'm glad you made it the pick, 3 months ago or whenever it was, because I probably wouldn't have read it otherwise. This is terrific, and the art is really, I think, special too. Especially when the aliens show up, the Sharg.
Yep.
Where they're almost drawn in a different, more realistic style than the rest of the book, and so that really makes them stand out and seem menacing. Because the rest of it's very sort of bright, primary colored, and anime-esque, and now you've got these giant dark. Aliens.
It's a good balance. Yeah.
So. The conflict between the characters is terrific, and this is the first real foray. We've seen them piloting the robots in action.
Yeah.
And so now we see all the trouble they're really in. This was really good.
Yep. Cool. Glad you like it.
Yeah. Did you guys read the Family Trade from this one of the newest Image number ones?
I did
from
not.
The unending know. Unending. Written by Justin Jordan and Nikki Ryan with art by Morgan Beam. And this was, first of all, it looked really interesting. And I don't mean that in a bad way. The art was almost sort of children's book style or a little bit Asian influenced in it. And the story is that a sovereign city-state formed itself back in the, I think it's the Revolutionary War period, where the English armada, the ships, said, fuck this, the king's crazy, and they go out in the middle of the ocean and form a floating country of their own. And so then years later, now we're in the present day, and we're in that giant city that's floating in the ocean between America and England.
It's like Sealand.
Yes. And, you know, we see that there's a group, the family that the family trade is referencing is a secret group that keeps sort of the peace. And the only downside I had to this book was that I know there's a lot of comic book angst about the current political climate, and they're working it out through their books. But I'm getting kind of tired of the exact Trump analogs in the books.
Man. Yep.
I mean,
or actually Trump.
This guy is looks like him, talks like him, and a lot of the writers aren't good enough to get the voice.
Yeah.
So it comes off hackneyed, and I get it. I totally get it. You're working through it. I totally respect it, but it's like in every fourth book I read. This is a really interesting, off the beaten path. Doesn't look like any other book out there. And it's not sci-fi. It's like alternate history.
I feel like he does horror a lot, and so I tend not to check out his books.
I honestly didn't even know who the writer was. I saw the cover. The cover was interesting, and I opened it up, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I started reading it without even knowing who had done it.
That's fun. Like, just the off-the-rack kind of, you know, like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so nice.
So if you're looking for not your superhero tale, it's not a sci-fi book, it's not, there's no ghosts or monsters, it's just a secret family of assassins who keep things running on this island. You know, check it out. The family trade, number one.
Cool. And while you're at it, you should also check out our sponsor, Harry's. We want to thank Harry's for their support of iFanboy. And you know, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard us talk a lot about Harry's this past year. We want to thank them. They're just so amazing, so awesome, because the biggest thing is that we were all customers before they came on as a sponsor of the show. I've been using Harry's since they came out because I hated paying so much money for my razor blades. I hated shaving, in fact. I used to say quite often, maybe you guys remember me saying this years ago, that if I could laserify my face and never have to shave again, I would totally do it. I have said that, and I'm not making it up. But ever since I started using Harry's, just the quality of their blades, the quality of the handle, the whole ordering via the internet, getting it mailed to you, the whole system, I actually look forward to shaving now, to the point where I sometimes shave more than once a week, which is very odd for me because I used to hate it so much. And the greatest thing is to you, faithful iFanboy listeners, Harry's is so confident that you guys are going to love what they do. They're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/iFanboy. All you got to do is pay for shipping. The great thing about Harry's is that they're all about a great shave at a fair price. Over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, the founders of the company, they were like us. I was fed up with buying overpriced razors, so they started Harry's to help fix shaving. And you know, guys, I think they've done a pretty good job of it. They went out and they bought a factory in Germany with over
100... You did drink at lunch.
It's a whole different thing going on here.
They bought a factory in Germany with over 100 years of blade making experience, so you're getting high quality, awesome products that are backed by 100% quality guarantee. And the greatest thing is that Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor companies, selling directly to you over the internet. So here's the deal. This is what you're going to do. If you're not on board with Harry's yet, this is the week you're going to do it. You're going to claim your free trial offer from Harry's, get a $13 value for free when you sign up. All you got to do is pay that shipping. With this free trial set, you're going to get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, which is awesome to hold, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, and my favorite feature, a trimmer blade, which keeps my sideburns looking good. You also get the rich lathering shave gel and the all-important travel blade cover, so you don't cut your hand when you stick your hand in your toiletry bag when you're on the road or something, which I've done and bled. And then I was like, why are my – I need the travel blade cover. So
I don't even know they exist, but they need to exist.
I need this. Here it is. So get it today. Get your free trial set. Go to harrys.com/iFanboy. That's harrys.com/iFanboy. And we thank them for their support.
I read The Wildstorm, Michael Cray, number one. This is a spinoff of Warren Ellis's Wildstorm book about that one dude who's like a special ops badass guy. And I was like, oh, this is good. I'm enjoying it pretty good. We needed to kill Oliver Queen. Excuse me?
What?
What?
So they brought in Oliver Queen.
Oh, right, because it all takes place in the DC.
No.
Wait a minute. No.
He's an evil Oliver Queen who hunts people for sport, and that's how he gets over being on the island.
Oh, because this is a multiverse situation.
Wait a minute. Is he the Zodiac Killer?
It's fucking awful.
Is it the greatest game? Is he Kraven? Is it the greatest game?
No, but that's what happened.
Dangerous Man, the most dangerous game. That's it.
Yeah, that's.
And I was really enjoying it, and then that happened. I went first. I was mad that they brought him in because I was like, I don't need these characters together. It doesn't need to happen. And then like they made him like a bad guy, and it was even stupider.
Oh well.
I thought it was
bold to start rolling out miniseries when the other series isn't even at like the fifth issue, right?
Yeah. Or 64.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe this one will distract you from when the other one stops coming out.
So we did the Redlands as a patron's pick.
Yes.
At one point, and I didn't really love it, but I keep reading it because I want to like it. I guess this was the best of the issues, I think. But it's we haven't talked about a book like this in a while. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's way fucked up. But Vanessa Del Rey is quite good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's showing growth in the right way, I guess. I think it made this is kind of a heartbreaking story, but it was kind of fucked up at the same time, so I'm not exactly sure what happened. But way less not sure what happened than what happened with the last one. You know what I mean?
Put that on the cover.
Yeah, I'm not getting on this cover. That's fine.
Amazing Spider-Man number 789 is moving on from all the shit that happened during Secret Empire. I gotta say,
789.
This is the legacy numbering is happening now. Get with it.
It was really interesting how what books got that numbering and which books haven't gotten that number.
I couldn't tell you how. Yeah, like because we're gonna talk about it.
Why isn't the Defenders getting that?
Well, I was just going to say, later on, we've got a couple other books that I can make that comment for. But Amazing Spider-Man number 789, I don't like where Peter Parker is after Secret Empire. Everybody hating him, they're trying to redo that. But I got to tell you, put Stuart Immonen on this book, and it could be them reading the phone book for all I care.
I can't blame you for that.
Spoonful of sugar, helping the medicine go down.
Exactly. Smart move on putting Immonen on the bummer post-crossover status quo.
I don't like the bummer post-legacy vibe in Marvel.
Yeah.
Every time there's a major sort of upheaval in things, then we got to spend 6 months of everybody being broken and coming back for it, and it is exhausting.
We're not talking about the Falcon number one, but that was the same feeling I had reading that. I was like, why I don't like any of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 15, what is the title of this? Is part one of a story called Manslaughter, and there's a super flu going through the DCU in which all the men are susceptible, so all the ladies are fine. This was a fun build in which it starts with the Birds of Prey, so it's Batgirl and Huntress and Black Canary, and then we keep adding ladies to the team. So we had Harley Quinn, and we had Poison Ivy, and we had Catwoman, and then by the end we had Supergirl, Wonder Woman. So there's like the giant ladies team up happening, which is fun because it's a bunch of characters and Batwoman comes in, and spoiler, it's like there's a giant sort of female team happening here, which is awesome. All these characters who don't normally spend any time together. So it'll be. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it. This looks like it's gonna be a really fun arc.
Cool. Defenders, the aforementioned Defenders number 6. Not sure why this doesn't have legacy numbering because Defenders have sure been around since the 70s. I just want to call this out because Dave Marquez killed it in several double page spreads on this that were just just stupid good. Like, come on.
He leveled up. We talk about leveling up with Mitch Gerads. Like, Marquez, he's one of the best artists in comics.
On the what was the big miniseries he just did that wasn't good?
He did Civil War 2 a while back.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't not good, but, like, the miniseries wasn't great, but every time his work was, it was the level up. Like, oh, this is, like... Yeah. He's a big time guy now. Like,
he's a big boy now.
Because I've been thinking a lot about the artists and the big two and stuff like that. Like,
have you?
I have. And Marquez.
How long?
Marquez,
how long?
A while long now.
You can't just drop that.
You can't. You walked into it.
I mean, I've been thinking about it for a good 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
I don't think that we're ready to talk about this.
I know. I got to think about it more. But anyway. The thing about it is that it like Marquez is definitely firmly up there, and I would love to see him on a major, major book, like on a major, not that Defenders isn't a major book because there's a TV show and everything, but he deserves it.
Is it? I don't know anyone's ever talked about it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Anyway, X-Men Blue number 13, which got the legacy cover treatment, but not any sort of numbering.
Doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense.
But nothing makes sense. Nothing matters. But I just want to call this out because over in X-Men Gold, Guggenheim has just given us what we want. And now in X-Men Blue, which was great because it was young kids, and now with this Mojo thing, we're just revisiting old X-Men stories, which, you know, it's fine. But we got Longshot back in this issue, which is always what's been.
How'd you feel when Longshot showed up?
I went, "Oh, Longshot!" And I got all excited.
I figured. So. When I read that moment, I was like, "Ron is somewhere in New York."
Yep, exactly.
Ron is smiling.
I did the same thing with Dr. Mindbender, but I knew he wasn't looking at it. So,
yeah. So that's wrap it up for those books. One more book before we get to the patrons, Vic. Josh over here in Star Wars Corner. Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 13. I got real worried towards the end of this book because it sure felt like the last issue of the series.
It really feels like the last issue. I was going to check. I was like, is this?
No,
last
I did. I went and I went and checked. And then at the end of the book, there's like next issue. And like, it's already been solicited. So unless something isn't, you know, unless I don't know.
That happened with a bunch of Marvel books in the last couple of weeks where it's really felt like it's over. And then I turn the page and it says next issue.
Right.
And so weird. Yeah.
It
really feels like a last issue.
Well, it makes sense with the legacy books because of all that stuff, but the Star Wars books doesn't make any sense. It really feels like a last issue.
So, what about it made it feel like a last issue?
It pretty much like it had like an epilogue. It showed what happened to all the characters and Dr. Aphra on the beach relaxing after her big score.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of bounty hunters come up and they're like, "Oh no, why does this always happen to me?" And she holds up literally Han Solo's pistol.
Yeah.
Which is smoking, like as if to say, you know, here we go again.
Yep.
Does a laser pistol smoke?
Burning atmosphere, sure.
Okay.
I think we've seen that in Star Wars that the laser pistol.
Yep.
I think that's canon.
It so. Burn. There's a thing that they would say it burns, like it's so hot that it's I don't know, who cares.
All right. Anyway,
More importantly, you got Kev Walker for this whole story.
Oh, he's amazing. Kev Walker's amazing. Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. He's really great.
Yeah.
So more of that.
More of that. Indeed.
I like this. I like this. And I thought it was over too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's your books we wanted to talk about this week. You can go to ifanboy.com and talk about the books you read. And now let's talk about the patron pick. And that's where every week the patrons of ifanboy.com at patreon.com/ifanboy get to vote on a book this week. Couple of things of business before we get going. First of all, oddly low turnout this week. You know, normally we get around the same number every week. This was about half. So I don't know what's going on. I hope
let us know if you're having trouble.
I hope half of you didn't just die or get kidnapped. But, you know, let's get back to voting because the votes are often very close, although it's not this week. Second bit of business, this book shouldn't have counted. We
missed it.
the book that won, we say in the voting page before you click through that, yeah, it has to be a book available digitally. This is Gotham City Garage number one, which is a paper compilation of a digital comic. And it was very confusing as to what we were supposed to read for this particular one. So we ended up reading all six issues of Gotham City, or at least all six that have been out so far of Gotham City Garage. But I think in the future, we might have to discount these paper compilation books.
Yeah,
we'll figure
they're technically digital books, right?
So there you go. So you got one through you slipped one through the gates this time. But Gotham City Garage is a DC. I guess they're still doing these. I've totally dropped off reading any of these digital books.
You know, I thought it was really funny that this came up because I literally was thinking the other day for about 2 hours, what happened with the Comixology digital exclusive half screen? Yeah. You know, like, I was literally wondering what happened to this format. And I guess DC is still keeping it alive. So
it's keeping it alive. And this is a book that is based on a DC Comics, DC Collectibles line of statues. So they do a lot of these bombshell statues, like where they do the characters that sort of pin up girls from the 40s. This is a line of statues that was taking a lot of the female characters and making them sort of post-apocalyptic, like sort of
Mad Max-esque.
Gotham City Garage. So they all have motorcycles and cars and things. So they made a comic series based on that statue line. So that's where this came from. If you wouldn't know, because you would have no idea reading this book, what's going on here. But so like I said, we all read the first six issues that are out. We read more than we were asked. And I really like the first two. And then my interest fell off a cliff after that.
Yeah, I mean, they changed the artists on.
I think the art change really hurt.
Yeah.
The art in the first two issues was Brian Ching, and I had this really interesting, sketchy style that didn't always work, but I liked looking at it. And then it got really sort of standard after that.
That's interesting.
It took me out of it a little bit. This is a post-apocalyptic world in which Lex Luthor's running everything. Batman's his henchman. They mind control everybody in this domed city. And the sort of outlaws, the Mad Max-esque freedom fighters live outside the Dome City. And Kara Gordon, who is Supergirl, she was found by Jim Gordon, breaks free and escapes and finds her brethren outside the Dome. So it's Harley Quinn and it's Big Barda and it's other people. Steel.
Coming off of the Nightwing New World Order book, whatever, like I started reading this, I'm like, oh, it's another Elseworlds book, cool, you know. And then like, okay, I get it, like it's reimagining these characters in this other world. Okay, that's fine. And like, I'm not really into it, but I imagine a big DC fan would be. But it wasn't, you know, like it didn't, you know, totally grab me. So
I think I'm between, or not, I guess not between isn't right, but once I figured out what it was. I guess that it was this Elseworlds thing, and I was watching the reimaginings. I liked a lot of it. I didn't like bits of it, basically. Like, I liked the general reimagining. It's like, what's this character doing? I like that Batman's the bad guy, just straight up. I like the sci-fi ideas that are going on here, where Lex is just like, we're going to make everybody happy by putting an implant in their head and just make them happy. And it's not even like, it is mind control, which is like a whole thing about, like, what's the point? And I like I'm going to talk about the whole thing because I don't remember.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah.
I liked the twist where Harley, when she was Harleen, was involved and how that was and how she met her Joker. You know, like there's a Matrix kind of thing going on. I like that they said, well, what if we just have Jim Gordon find Supergirl instead of the Kents fight? Like, they're just doing whatever they came up with. They're not trying
I like that in principle. I like Elseworlds tales. I like reimaginings. The world was fine. I just was unexcited by most of the art, so it was hard to really get into.
And I really like Big Barda, and I liked, because in this there was sort of a dovetailing with Mr. Miracle too, where we're sort of dealing with the fact that, like, when you're brought up on Apocalypse by Granny Goodness, it messes you up, and they spent a lot of time on that too. So that sort of worked with the other book in concert to a certain extent. I read the newest one first, and I was completely confused. Like, this is terrible. I don't know what's going on. Because sometimes you can jump in, sometimes you can't. So I went back and read them all straight through again. And then I read the sixth one again just to make sure I got it. It was fun. Like, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it. I just wasn't as interested by the end as I was in the beginning. I mean, the first two, I was like, oh, this is actually fun. I might be into this. And then I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ratings.
Ratings.
Like that weekend in college.
Ratings. I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to go 3.5.
All right, sticking
with
it.
Wow. Ron, we should mark the stage.
I know. Josh is just over someone over us. That's amazing.
Sticking with it, no.
No.
I'm realistically probably not. I mean, if I see the next one comes up, I might take a look at it. They're super short, so.
That's true. All right, so there you go.
I want to finish the story.
Gotham City Garage, number one. You can go to patreon.com/ifanboy, and you can vote. Every patron can vote there for the book every week. Like we said, every Wednesday, the voting opens. You get an email. Just click that link and go vote. Normally, you know, twice as many of you voted this week. So let's get on that.
Yeah, you guys got to step it up. You know, like, I know we're getting towards the end of the year. I know holidays are coming. All this sort of stuff is happening. Like, listen, there's a lot of you patrons out there that aren't voting, and it's a patron given right.
So maybe it's the strawberry shortcake. People have just had enough.
That's true.
It's your opportunity to affect the show. Seriously, get on.
Normally the vote is like real close. Like, usually it's like one or two votes. This week it wasn't, but you know, every vote counts. Your vote matters.
Yes, it does. So,
all right. So, like we said, in addition to the patron pick, there's also fun things that happen if you're a patron. Like, if you give it a certain level, get your own superpower, and we give that to you every week on the show. It's not a dumb superpower. Sometimes it is. Josh, you kick us off.
Kevin Samara has 10 seconds of audio playback at any given moment.
You really like the 10 seconds thing. That's not the first time.
Have I done that before?
You've done that before. You've done not audio playback.
I started with 5 seconds.
Like,
I haven't done audio playback. I haven't done this, right?
No, I don't think I don't think you have. Let me check.
It also doesn't matter. We can do double power.
We can, yeah. No, you have not done audio playback.
Okay. See, it's audio play. So it's a, I did not say that. You did two. Click.
We actually did somebody who archives all the audio they hear. So this guy just only has he's not as strong as that first guy. That's fine.
Right, but it's I think this comes from watching the Vietnam documentary and the Nixon tapes.
Okay.
But it's 10 seconds. It's fleeting.
Right.
So it's only
and he doesn't save those 10 seconds.
Nope. I mean theoretically if he keeps an actual physical recorder on hand, he's like, "Oh, I got to remember to keep that." But he's got to get to it fast. Because the tape's always rolling.
All right. Justin Jakimiak.
Great name.
He always has a napkin.
That just means he has kids.
Like, you know, you get a sandwich at a deli, you go outside, you eat on a stoop. You know, the sauce starts falling out. Justin's always got a napkin ready to go.
All right.
They just appear.
Paul Gilbert. I want to thank him for supporting us. Paul Gilbert, he can tattoo something on his body, and then it happens.
There's a superhero like that.
Wow. Is there?
Yes.
God, it's a good idea.
That's fine. You've given Paul a legitimate superhero power.
Because you're limited by skin, face, and you're also limited by interpretation.
And how, right. Yeah, how good the artist is.
Right, yeah. Or I could tattoo... I have $1 million. They'll give it to me, or I could tattoo a bag of money, and I get a bag of money. But it could be Monopoly money. Like it's you gotta figure out how to convert that. So yeah. So there you go.
Fair enough. Paul Gilbert, probably not the guitarist. Paul Gilbert,
no.
Just one
if
of those
it
guitar
is,
players.
Let us know. So
sure. Matt Garcia. His skin is a non-slip surface. It's not a sticky surface. It's not Spider-Man. It's just a non-slip surface.
He's what is going on in your life that this is a power that comes up a lot?
You can put it. There's a. I don't. I'm doing this.
You did like a friction thing before, like where they can change the friction of their body.
Okay.
Like, are you like, you got skin issues? You need some moisturizer? What's going on?
I mean, yeah, obviously, but there's messes.
I see.
There's right. things that slide. You can put your phone. If he's sitting at the right angle, you just put his phone on his belly. It's not going anywhere. It's a non-skid surface. You can run barefoot. You're fine. Unless it's just a wet, smooth area.
To address the question that came up previously, we are on the downhill side of these powers, by the way. We have done more powers than there are left to do.
Good.
So that's just so you know. So
it's fun to do, but it's also I want people to get their powers.
Yeah, but there's still
starting to repeat myself.
There's still I mean handily into next year. So don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon.
All right, so there you go. Patreon.com/iFanboy. That's where you can help. That's also where you can go to donate and become part of the show. We're somewhere around $5 or $4 to adding to our next stretch goal, which would be. A non-comics media podcast every month. So if you want to hear us talk about that, for instance, this month we would have talked about Lucky. I'm just telling you the things you're missing out on. Ron and I both saw the Harry Dean Stanton film Lucky. We would have talked about that in the podcast. I guarantee it. So that's the kind of thing you'd get if you go and join it for Patreon at patreon.com/iFanboy. Also, the T-shirt store, iFanboy.threadless.com. We've got 5 shirts, the 2 classic shirts, the iFanboy and the Herm, and the 3 new shirts, the Pixel League podcast, the rating shirt, and the If One Is Electro shirt, which I wore last week. Got a compliment. It's the most complimented shirt I wear out in the world. And we have another shirt coming, although we just thought of a new idea, so that may derail the idea we had. There may be more shirts coming, is what I'm saying.
We're getting more shirts. We got multiple ideas. We can do more than one, Connor.
I know. I'm just saying we were preparing one, and then we had a different idea, and that one may supersede the one we were talking about. So there's another shirt coming. It'll come before the end of the year. So look for that. And also, iFanboy.com/support. It's the holiday season. So if you want to do your holiday shopping through Amazon, please consider doing it at iFanboy.com/support. Use the Amazon link, or better yet, make that link your browser link and never have to think about it again. But as the Christmas commercials start invading our lives, that's the time for holiday shopping. So please do that via Amazon at iFanboy.com/support. Also, if you just want to donate some money directly, PayPal is there as a PayPal link for eccentric billionaires. And also, multimillionaires.
We'll take them.
We'll take everyone.
All right, on to your questions. We got an email from Patrick from North Carolina who says, in our culture today, binging is the new trend, from binge-watching shows on streaming devices and also binge-eating food and drink. That was a tough pill to swallow. I was wondering about binge-reading comics. I recently reread through all of Bendis' Daredevil run, and I enjoyed it much more this go-around, being able to read it all at once instead of once every month. The story of Murdoch's identity being revealed covered Daredevil for years, and when I read it in single issues, it felt like the story arc would never end. Getting to read it through again all at once made it even better for me, and I was able to love the grand scope of the story all the better. Are there any comics that y'all would recommend for some more binge reading? Are you pro-binge or anti-binge? I've been thinking of this since March 2006 when Bendis' run on Daredevil came to a close. Which, by the way, before we answer this, holy shit, that was 11 years ago?
Stop it.
Stop. Yeah, I agree with Connor.
Anyway. We used to binge read all the time when we were doing the video show and we had to talk about a topic and I'd read a big hardcover or something like that, so...
Yeah, I mean, like we did Sandman. I had to read all. I mean, we that was something that we did a lot.
I mean, we just did it with Cerebus.
It's just one volume,
I know, but it was 25 issues.
Oh, I'd read 50 issues at a time or whatever it is. Yeah, yes. Like that was like 50 pages at a time. Yeah, 100 pages.
And I think I was thinking about this in regards to like a lot of the great comics, the classic comics. If you weren't around when they came out, or you weren't buying the issues, you kind of had to binge read them. So, everybody who's ever read Watchmen since it came out in 1986 has binge read it. And I wonder what effect that has on it.
Hold on. What do we consider a binge read? Is it more issue or is it more than
six? I'm talking about the...
No, I don't think you need to put rules around it. I think it's sitting down and reading more than a trade in one. Like, it's reading a lot.
And they're not spaced out. Yeah. Like, the chapter.
I do that every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not. It's not one continuous story that was released in a much... further, further apart. So, like, when people originally read Watchmen as it was conceived, you would read it, you'd wait a month for the next one to come out, you would read that part. But almost everybody who's read it at this point read it all in one big chunk. And I'm wondering if that affects our enjoyment of it in a way that we wouldn't have if we were going the other way. Meaning, he read Daredevil issue by issue and it felt like it was going on forever. And it did. It was good, but it did feel like this has been happening forever. And we talk about this with Scott Snyder Batman stories. He does a 12-issue arc or something like that. But if you were to sit down and read them all at once straight through...
I think what binge culture is revealing is that people do want the whole story all at once.
Do they?
I think they do. Otherwise, people wouldn't be binge-watching TV shows all the time.
But I'm wondering if this is one of those things where, you want it because you can, but is it not necessarily good for you? It's like you want.
Well, it doesn't mean it's good for you. People want things all the time that aren't good for them. But I think it shows that the majority of people, and we've talked about it on the Netflix podcast about how we don't really like to binge watch TV shows. But I think that the majority of the people, it's quite clear from the behavior that they want to binge. They want a whole season at once. I mean, I've been saying for years that I'd rather read a comic and trade and get the whole arc at once than chapter by chapter. And I think it's showing that ultimately people want movies. It's just that the movies are longer. They want all three acts. They want the whole story. They want it all in one sitting or a couple of sittings as opposed to drawing it out over months and months.
So I'm going to go broader than just comics, but I think that when it first started being a thing that you could do with DVDs or you could do it with Netflix or something like that, I remember binge watching, two seasons of Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
This is great. And I did
that was one of the first ones, yeah.
Yeah, and I did it with the S.H.I.E.L.D. DVDs, until I caught up. And that was good, but now it's everything. And so now it feels like everything is immediate, huge, and unimportant and disposable.
Yeah.
So it's like you get both things. Like this, I mean, there's a new Netflix series every 48 minutes. I mean, they're all super great, and then nobody talks about them again except for Stranger Things. But it makes things seem – we were talking about this with the art in comics, the way that DC is doing it. It's so fast and so furious that they have to provide content, and that content loses its luster because there's so much of it coming so fast. So that's my take on it. I'll stop talking.
No, I mean I think this is something – you haven't been on the Netflix shows. Ron and I have talked about this to death about how it loses its specialness when you you ingest it all at once and then you never think about it again.
You're consuming more and faster. But when we watched, and I don't know if this worked out for them, but when we watched 11/22/63.
Yep.
Like we were all, every week we were like, oh, a new episode's coming up. We were so excited to wait a week.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we do a Star Trek Discovery now, Ron. Right. I almost said Beyond again, Ron.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
That, you know, the for CBS All Access, they put out their shows one every Sunday. It's not, you don't get the whole season at once. And I think people want the binge, even if it's what they don't really want, but they clearly want it because everybody does it that way.
It's a trend, right?
But I don't think it's a good idea ultimately.
Yeah, I agree. I like spacing it out. I like having time to breathe. But that says when you space it out and have time, like the con of this for me at least is that when you space it out and have time to breathe, then shit builds up and you never finish it, right? Like Legion, you know, which I will get to. But then the opposite is of with the binge is that you just never even get to chip away at it. You know what I mean? It's just so daunting. I still haven't watched Stranger Things at all, like a single episode. So, you know, it just time is the biggest
thing. I think
so
TV and comics are different beasts because comics are like TV. There's always a new one coming out, but you can leisurely read a trade and not worry, as opposed to suddenly there's 15 shows you haven't watched. That's way too many hours than you possibly have free in your life.
Also, you can't have to actively read a comic book. You can sort of passively watch a TV show.
In terms of binge comic reading, I will reveal that I do know one Marvel exclusive writer who is binge reading the Marvel Universe from, like, he started about 10 or 15 years ago. Like, he's like, I think he's not up to Siege yet. I think he's like, I think he's coming right out of Dark Reign. And he's just reading everything, binge reading it, got all the trades, and like is sitting down, and that's what he's doing. And yeah, so like people do that. You know, that's a thing.
Your best friend?
No, it's not my best friend. So it's one of the young folks. So,
but if you're calling binge reading anything beyond a single issue, I just binge read the latest trade of Invincible. You know, I've binge read the last six issues. But it took me half an hour. It's not a big deal.
Cool.
I like it that way.
Yep. Well, if you have any questions, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Keep them short. Tell us where you're from and how long you've been thinking about it. It's always good to hear from you. Just let us know how you feel.
So we had a couple of special edition shows come out in the last week or so. We did a Marvel's Inhumans and The Gifted show, in which we talked about that stuff. And then we have a show coming out soon, Batman versus Two-Face, which is the final Batman performance of Adam West. It was the second Batman 66 animated film. It's his final performance. We'll be talking about that. It comes out next week. Hopefully we'll be talking about it soon, by the end of the month. So you look forward to that. And then we have Thor Ragnarok coming in just a few weeks. So we look forward to that. A lot of people I know have seen it, and I'm very anxious to see it as well.
I think it looks like a ton of fun. I can't wait.
That's what I'm hearing.
You can get over to ifanboy.com to find all of our other podcasts like iFam. I read the word like completely wrong. You can like ifanboy.com/ifanboy. You can follow us on @ifanboy on Twitter.
Facebook.com/ifanboy.
I'm stroking out.
It's almost as if you haven't done this before.
It really was for just a second.
606 times.
Yeah. Well, I only do these presumably a third of the time, so that cuts it right down. 202 times. You can follow us at iFanboy on Twitter to find out what that's the joke. That's the thing. You find out what the pick of the week is before it comes out. And of course, you can follow us individually, J.A. Flanagan and Ron Exo on Twitter for now, and Instagram, and SCL Kilpatrick on Instagram.
On the gram. And if you like us, if you like what we're doing, go to iTunes and write a review. It helps people discover the shows, helps people discover other shows, or just spread the word, let people know, post on Twitter, say that, hey, I like listening to iFanboy, you should too. We thank everybody who does that. You guys help us get the word out, and we appreciate you so much for doing so. So that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I won't be here next time, but until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
Forget it.